Hello and welcome to Forex Overland, the Adventure Travel Inspiration Podcast. This podcast is done in association with BF Goodrich Tires. We're very grateful to them for their support. I would like to introduce you to Paul Marsh. Paul is he's a difficult chap to describe. Many of my YouTube followers will know him quite well. He is an exceptionally talented individual when it comes to building overland trucks. He's built countless of them for clients all over the world. He's based in Cape Town, used to be based in England, and he's been with me on many of my trips. And often when we're on a trip, we'll start talking about something in the car, and then I'll say, hey, you know, we should actually record this. So we will then turn on a camera, turn on a microphone, and often do it at the campsite. And we'll talk about all kinds of stuff when it comes to overland expedition type travel. And he has experience, more experience than I think anybody else I know. He's crossed most of the continents of the globe in four-wheel drive vehicles. He does a lot of these vintage car rallies, Sydney to London rallies and things like this, where he's the backup. I think he's just a backup mechanic, but he's a lot more than that. His ability to fix broken things on vehicles is legendary. So today, what I thought we would do is play back one of those that some of you on YouTube may have watched this. But Paul and I were sitting around a campfire. You can actually hear the crackle of the fire in the background. And we started talking about how to handle refuse when you generate a lot of rubbish, mostly packing material, when in the middle of nowhere. And the trouble is, you have to take it with you. But if you're going to take it with you, how do you stop it smelling, etc., etc.? How do you stop wild animals getting to it? And there are lots of things to consider. So Paul and I are sitting around the campfire talking about these things. We often, one of us, either Paul or myself, we mention the truck that we're driving. I'll just give you a little bit of insight into that truck. This is a Toyota Land Cruiser 79 series. That's the kind of quite boxy shape pickup. The 79 is the dual cab, so it's a four-door, five-seater. We had a canopy on the back. We had a rooftop tent on the canopy, and we were, at the time, in Namibia. I hope you enjoy the show. After a couple of days camping and collect in wild areas where you're not passing towns, which to me is the best kind of overlanding.
Yes, exactly.
You collect a lot of refuse, and I want to talk a little bit about what do you do with it? How do you handle it? How do you stop it smelling? How do you carry it?
And well, you should always carry it. Don't ever think you leave it behind.
Oh, we never leave. Oh, good point. I mean, never bury
it behind.
You do not leave it behind, and you never bury it. I mean, particularly in Africa, you bury it, and the hyenas and the jackals will dig it up. You might as well have just scattered it about. So it's an absolute no to bury your refuse. But how do you carry your refuse on your trips?
I use a bag during the day, and at night when you're opening up tins and you're emptying stuff which you've got liquid in that are going to smell, I light a fire and I burn it. Mm. Because at the end of the morning, when the fire's cooled down, or before we go to sleep and we kill the fire and douse it with sand and make sure it's not live, I'll shake out the coals and collect the tins and any foil that's left over, and that I'll take with me.
Yes.
Because that actually is easy to carry.
Yes.
You know, a bin bag on the back of your spare wheel is a great idea, or something you can throw it in. It's just perfect.
Well, I like that. Yeah. Okay. So, burn the smelly rubbish.
And why?
And to keep the
Why? I mean, why do we burn it?
Stop smelling and stop it rotting.
Well, that's true, but actually, it doesn't attract animals.
And doesn't attract that. True. Doesn't attract.
Yeah. You'd never leave any food in your tent.
Yes.
Because that's really a big no-no for any animals that come through and you're sleeping with food in your tent. And certain areas you wouldn't even take oranges in. The elephants love them.
Elephants are bad news when are with citrus fruit.
They'll turn your car over for it. I've seen elephants wreck camps. And in fact, I've chased an elephant out of one of the camps in Savuti when I was working there. Mm. He was trying to open a trommel I had with oranges in years ago. And we then realized.
Was that baby Huey?
How was Baby Huey?
Oh, I've got a long story about Baby Huey.
Oh man, Huey was something else.
During our expedition in 1987 when we crashed the Range Rover, Gwyn, it's a long story, I've written about it, but to cut it short, Gwyn rode in the back of the Land Cruiser that were carrying Baby Huey's tusks.
No, really?
They had finally decided that Baby Huey was a disaster and that they had to do something, and they shot him. You know, but they transported his tusks, and we had heard about, for years, we'd heard about Baby Huey and this terrible, terrible things he was doing to people in tents, and he was rolling cars and stuff. And eventually we met his tusks, on these bloody tusks on the back. It was very sad. That was 87.
You know, I was showering in one of the shower blocks, and there was a little air brick to the wall. The next thing, my shower dried up. I look up, and there's Huey's trunk through that. Now wrestling my shower back from Huey, who's got his trunk sucked firmly on the shower.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah, amazing. That would have been fun. But yes, back to rubbish.
Back to rubbish. Yes, stop talking rubbish. I really like, and I've seen some made in the United States, and I looked at them and thought, I don't like, well, carrying them on the back of a spare wheel, that's something that wraps around the spare wheel.
Look, it's a good place. I mean, at the end of the day,
well, I like that.
It's out of your vehicle. It's got a big sort of bag on it. You can throw it in, a plastic bag, crush all the tins because they take no space.
Yes, I always crush the tins.
Yep. And then I put them in there, and then you can get a lot of rubbish in that bag. And then when you pass the town, you're not actually making any, it's not unhygienic. Mm. And you're actually getting rid of the rubbish in the right place.
Yeah.
So it's so important that when you come in to a campsite and you can leave it where you don't know you've actually been there. Mm. The fire's covered, you've buried the ashes, there's no rubbish left around, and it's just a great way to leave nature.
The trash bags that hang on the back of spare wheels I find also very useful for carrying dirty stuff like a cooking grid, for example.
Yeah,
it's a perfect place for a cooking grid because it...
Well, you know that, or slip it into a PVC bag. That works quite well too, depending on where you put it. Mm. And but yes, ideally, it's a perfect place to keep those sort of items.
And the other thing is never to put foodstuffs, it's not really in the same subject, but it's a similar subject, putting foodstuffs inside tents that you're sleeping in is a bad idea, particularly in Africa.
Well, baboons, monkeys and baboons will come in and they will, you would not believe how easily you could be camping and the baboons will come and they'll ransack or sabotage your camp for food. One minute you're looking around, the next minute they've come in, they've ambushed your camp, and your food's scattered everywhere.
Last year in Zambia at a public campsite, I had a loaf of bread and I had taken it out, literally taken it out and put it on the table, and I turned around and it was gone.
Yeah.
Baboon took it. And they were waiting around the back side of the vehicle, waiting to pounce. Yeah, they knew I was going to take out.
Soft
and I'm aware of baboons, I know about baboons, and the buggers got me. And I was actually so angry with myself because I knew they were around, but I wasn't vigilant enough.
You kick yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, they're almost worse with women because they know a woman is in their culture or their species.
Yes.
Is the weaker of the two.
Yes.
So they'll treat us the same.
Yes.
And they will really...
And in fact, when I was in Zambia last year, Kate, my daughter, she's 19, right? She was 18 at the time, and a troop of vervet monkeys used her as a shield. They were arguing and squabbling, and they actually attacked her. They actually started circling around her and attacked her.
Gosh, that's terrible.
And she was absolutely terrified, and I sprinted out. And she was female. That's your kettle.
My kettle.
I'll finish the story. So, and she was absolutely terrified, and as the female, she was the weaker. And those vervet monkeys were not threatened by her in the least degree until I came charging along, and then they fled. So it was actually quite scary. That's our little thing about rubbish and handling animals around the camp.